from the Three Story Method Podcast Network.
This is the Serial Fiction Show.
I'm Christine Daigle.
And I'm JP Reinbush.
Welcome to the Writer's Serial Fiction Show.
If you haven't listened to today's story, we'd encourage you to pause and go listen to Pepper Pace's episode on our companion podcast first. If you like what you hear, check out the full episode on Vela. The links to the podcast and the Vela episodes are in the show notes.
So
we're batch recording.
We are batch recording. So you are still sick and we had no personal progress.
Nope.
But we do have a question for our listeners. We are scheduling into the next few months and I'd like to know, who would you like to see on the Serial Fiction Show? Let us know at serialfictionshow.com.
Yeah. And dream high, dream big.
Dream big.
Why not? Let us know.
So JP, let's talk about Pro Writing Aid. And as they say on their website, it is the secret to polished and professional writing. As writers, we make the same mistakes. You use Pro Writing Aid, you can get clear, easy steps to improve your writing so you can share your ideas with confidence. Whether you're doing creative writing, business writing, academic writing, just composing an email and you want to sound smart, Pro Writing Aid will help you.
And 100%.
There's something new. What is it, JP?
So Atticus, which is a wonderful program that includes book formatting, and it is developing aspects for writers so that it can basically be a one-stop shop for writers, has an integration with Pro Writing Aid now. So we've mentioned before that Pro Writing Aid has a lot of integrations with, you know, Google Docs and Microsoft Word, and now Atticus, which just makes makes that tool Atticus really shiny and nice for authors that are looking for a one-stop place. But it's just the fact that Pro Writing Aid can integrate with so many programs so that you're able to use this sort of last line defense before handing it off to someone. It just makes it so much easier. I love using Pro Writing Aid because then I don't have people that are editing it looking for simple mistakes that I can find using Pro Writing Aid that I can learn from. And instead they're looking at the deeper content and they're able to notate that. So I just find Pro Writing Aid so nice. So I love it when I hear a new integration has happened.
Absolutely. Check out Pro Writing Aid. It will help you be a better writer. ProWritingAid.com. Use our discount code SERIAL20.
All right. So first episode of 1954, we have this wonderful hook. Bailey has been selected to audition for a very immersive play. I am curious, how do you go about crafting hooks to get readers into your episodes?
The hook has to be, in my opinion, it has to be fast. So I want you to understand what you're going to get in the story as quickly as possible. And that's why when I did the hook for 1954, it was like bang, bang, bang. She found out about that she was accepted for the next round in this play or movie. She didn't know exactly what it was. It was mysterious. It was, but it also made you as the reader want to find out with her what was going to happen. And that's the hook. And you have to do it, you know, in the first page and try your best to hook them, you know, within the first few paragraphs if possible.
Yeah, I love that. So earlier when we were talking on the readers portion, you talked about, you know, using real world truth in your story. So when we kind of looked at your first episodes, the theme that we came up with is that, you know, we really need to take opportunities as they arise, especially if they push us outside of our comfort zone. So I'm curious how you use truth or theme in your writing. Does that guide you at all? Or what does that look like for you?
Well, because under my brand, which is Pepper Pace, I only write interracial stories under this brand. And I feel like, how can you address race, even to say that this is romance between two different, you know, cultures, races, ethnicities, whatever it may be, without exploring all aspects of it and the disparity between certain, you know, races. So, you know, myself being involved in interracial romances, you do get to a point where you will forget that a person is of a different color than you are. They just are your family or your friends or your loved ones. But you will never forget that, you know, one person might be looked down on, whereas another person isn't. You will not forget that part of it. And I feel like that has to be explored, because how can I write a story? I don't want to write a story in which I am not addressing something realistic. Everybody can read a story that is a fantasy because they're out there and they're beautiful and I love them myself. But when I'm writing my story, I need to explore what really is happening in the world, and hoping that somebody might see things in a different light that makes them want to either change themselves, you know, or make a change to the world.
I'm really interested in this outlook through like that interracial partnership perspective that you've got. And especially when we drill down to this character, Bailey, because like at a base level, what we see with her motivations and wants is, you know, she wants to get this acting gig and she really just needs to push her acting skills to the next level. But with your kind of interracial partnerships as this core theme that your author brand has, how does that interplay with character development and how you approach character?
Well, when it comes to specifically Bailey, I guess right now in society, everybody is trying to be very conscious and PC. And there's that word woke, you know, where she sees that she wants to work and she wants to be rich and she wants to be successful. But she also knows that she has to be responsible and she has to be aware of society. And I think that so many people, I mean, it's probably people that I know, young people that I'm related to, that they want to get ahead, but they can't stop thinking like, you know, wow, am I going into an area that isn't necessarily being responsible, you know? So I think that she has to understand that too. And I think she's confused. Bailey is confused when she knows that she's happy to have this job and she's happy to be in this house. And she's saying, as a 50s housewife, I would be, you know, considered very lucky. But then she has this other thought in the back of her head, but I'm not being true to the Black people in the 50s. But I don't think that she really understood that she's not the only one that wanted to be true, you know? So even her husband, who happens to be the producer of the show, her husband in the show, he wants to be true to it too. And I think that she had to learn that maybe the hard way and the long way, that being Black doesn't mean that she's the only person who needs to understand the reality and the need for a change.
Yeah. And I really saw that in your scene construction. You know, at the beginning of this book, she has this huge conflict. It's a lot of money. If she does this for a year, she's going to be set. But she's really scared about, you know, what's it going to be like to be a Black person in the 50s. And, you know, she makes the choice to go ahead and give it a try. And then we're going to kind of see what the consequence and fallout of that is. You know, you leave us in this first episode with this great cliffhanger. You know, she's dove into this this acting role and kind of realized that this audition is going on. And then she's going to go off to the next round. How do you go about constructing episodes in terms of scene construction in a serial format?
Well, in a serial format, and this is a question that I get from my writer friends, because when they saw how well like the Galatian Exchange was doing, they said, okay, look, you may have been successful on Vela. You know, how should I kind of look at Vela from a storytelling standpoint. And I think the main difference between, you know, actual book and novel writing is that you have to remember that you're compelling each person. Each episode has to compel a person to return. So, I mean, we can use that word cliffhanger, but, you know, really, is it? Is it really a cliffhanger? So I think it's just something that compels you to move forward. And each episode doesn't have to have a climax. I mean, it really doesn't. It just has to have momentum that pulls you forward. And that might pull you forward for three episodes, that momentum. But, you know, each episode has to satisfy something too. So you still have to have satisfaction with each episode. And that's why when you turn your books that are already published into Vella episodes, you might really have to rewrite some of these scenes. I did. I had to rewrite certain things because I didn't feel like it was, people say, can you write, you know, a scene that's only 750 words or an episode that's only 750 words? And my answer to that is you can write it as little as 600 words. 600 words. But is it compelling? And that's the main thing. If you read that episode and it makes you want to know what's happening next, become the reader. So many writers just write and they don't read the story from the perspective of the reader.
I love that perspective of, you know, look through the eyes of the reader and actually do that. So we've mentioned it a couple times, but so one of your key words for 1954 is the civil rights movement. How do real world political movements make their way into your work while staying true to the romance genre?
Yeah, that's a hard one because I really hate talking about politics. I so hate it, but it is filled in my reality. You know, it is such a part of my reality. But I have to respect that everybody has their own thoughts and beliefs and choices. And, you know, that's something that you learn as an adult. So if I'm going to address a political climate, and it might be heated, I'm going to show good and bad from every character perspective. There, not everybody is good and not everybody is bad. So we look at some of the family members of the love interest, who is very political. And I make comparisons to people who may have been arrested for, you know, improper acts. But then we look at the person he was married to. Well, I can't really give it away, but his wife, you would think, well, did she support this? She knew about this? But it turns out she's like, no, I need you to tell me if he ever approaches you, so I can have a case against him because he is going down. So you've got to see that there is good and bad in people, regardless of what their belief, their political beliefs are.
So I want to change gears and talk a little bit more about the serial platforms. So 1954, Sun and the Galatian Exchange are all crowned, or were all crowned at the same time on Kindle Vella. How have you managed your readership and promoted each Vella successfully?
Oh, that's the main thing about success on Vella. You can have the best story in the world, but if people don't know about it, and Vella is not going to promote, you know, they're not going to promote you. They're going to promote Vella, but they're not going to promote you. And still, there's tons of people who don't even know about Vella. I still get people on my Facebook who say, "What's Kindle Vella?" I'm like, man, if you've been on my Facebook, I talk about it all the time. But you have to remember, not everybody is on Facebook, and I'm older. So Facebook is my social media go-to. And I promote by having a face group Facebook group that is geared and devoted to the Galatian exchange. And I encourage interaction within that. And then in my author's notes, I give links to the Facebook group. I have a Discord, which my daughter taught me how to use. And I still don't really know how to use it, but I'm going to use it more so that you can have things like discussions and live talks and things like that, questions and answers and polls. And there are polls on the Vela platform now that's really helpful. The main thing with my success is that I started talking about it way before I started writing my first story in Vela. And you do have to educate people on how to use it and how to locate it and what it is and why the story doesn't end and what, you know, that it's a series. And, you know, so it's, you do educate people in it, but I brought my readers. And I don't know how successful I would have been if I didn't start out with people who already knew my name. Like, how are you going to gain that? And the best way to do it is ads and social media.
Totally agree. All right. So you have these three Velas. I'm sure you have other works as well. I am curious, what does your daily or weekly writing routine look like?
Oh, that's a great question. I just retired from my main job December.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I love it. I love that. I was working 34 years at my main job. And during that time, I wrote like close to 50 stories over the last like 12 to 15 years of being self-published. I'm a self-published author. So I would write every single day, and it was always, and as a mom too, it was easy for me. And I had insomnia, so maybe that helped. But I would write mainly at 2 a.m. and when my insomnia would kick in. And then when I got sleepy, about 4, I would go back to sleep and wake up for my day at about 6. And so I would have to squeeze in about 3 hours, and I tried to do it every single day, and that included the weekends. And that was how I was able to write the Galatian Exchange in 1954. But something strange happened in December of 2021. When I retired, I got tired. And I do not write like that anymore. I don't even know how I did that for so long. So now I write the Galatian Exchange twice a week. I write a Monday and a Friday episode. And when I was writing 1954, I was doing a Monday and a Friday episode. And my Monday's episodes will always be as close to 5,000 words as possible. That was constant writing. Now I write the day before the book is released. The episode is released, and that is it. I don't write. And like right now, I'm writing like a very critical part of the Galatian Exchange. So I might add a second day into it, but I devote one day, maybe two per episode. And Sun is already written. So all I have to do is just schedule them, and it's good. So that's my, I'm not saying it's like the best, but it's all I can do right now.
It's nice. Good though. It's like having a deadline every couple of days.
Yes, that is. And you know, when I went on vacation, I had to write ahead, and that was easy. I mean, because I was so excited about my vacation. So I keep wondering, like, why can't I write ahead and just schedule some of these? But really, it does take all of those days for me to get the story the way I want it. Because I don't want to just write. I write it because I love the story. So I need to let it just kind of marinate in my head before I actually put it in writing.
Yeah, excellent. So as a final question, what would you say to someone looking to start a serial?
Well, the first thing I would say is start finding your readers. I mean, don't just put this story up there and think, okay, now it's not the same as a book. There is thousands of people out there, thousands of stories out there. So find your readers. Now, how do you find your readers? You can go through social media. You can do ads, things like that. Do teasers. There are Facebook groups for Kindlevella stories. And I'm in the Kindlevella Facebook groups. Once you get your readers, however you want to do your episodes, for instance, well, I'll just say that if you want, I don't know if you want long episodes or shorter episodes, but don't just do the first three, which are the free ones, and then just be gone with it and say, I'll do the next one next week, because they're going to read the first three and then they need to invest in the fourth one. So have the fourth one there because they've already invested in it with some tokens. And really, if you have like, I would say you shouldn't even do it unless you have four episodes ready, but I like to see five episodes ready. And don't make, it's not a novel in which you have to take it, you have to take a long time to develop your characters. You don't have that much time and you don't need that many words. Like I am a little wordy, but it is better to just get to the point when you're doing Kindlevella. That's my words of wisdom as a person who's been doing it and as a person who reads Kindlevella stories. When I read some of them that just take too long to get to the point of the story and I'm in three episodes and I still haven't gotten to the point of the story, then I've lost interest. And it might have been a good book, but it's not a book. So,
Yeah, good.
Excellent.
Advice.
Well, thank you so much for sitting down and talking with us.
I enjoyed it. Thank you for inviting me.
Our thanks today to Pepper Pace for letting us break down their episode.
And that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. There's nothing funny here for you. Really. We weren't funny at all this week. JP was sick. Leave us alone. Why are you still listening?